Tonight, I'd like to discuss some interesting information about Kriya Shema. The last 2 weeks, we discussed a sugya where, worst-case scenario, even if you were to read real Shtar HaDyotis, it would only be a Nisa Derabanan. Not that we endorse the Suri Derabanan, but it would only be a Nisa Derabanan. Tonight, I would like to discuss a potential Shaila being Yotze Mitzvah Deraisa, a serious issue. Kriya Shema is something we recite twice a day, every day, not just on Shabbos. It's a 7-day-a-week experience. And it's very probable or possible, if not done correctly, we're not really fulfilling the mitzvah. So the first thing we have to figure out is what exactly is the status of obligation of Kriya Shema. Do we have to say Kriya Shema? So this seems to be not even a point of discussion. Everyone knows you have to say Kriya Shema. And everyone assumes Kriya Shema is a mitzvah deraisa. Well, that's machlokes mishnah. The Gemara says in Brachas, in number one, it's really machlokes in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, safek kara Kriya Shema, safek lo kara. Says the Gemara, if a person doesn't remember if he said Kriya Shema or not, he's a safek. Again, could be very relevant this time of the year, where a person goes to sleep and doesn't remember, he davened ma'ariv early, and he doesn't remember if he repeated Kriya Shema when he got home, and he wakes up at 12 o'clock at night, and he says to himself, I don't remember. I know I davened too early. I davened here at 8:30 tonight, which is way before this month. I don't remember if I repeated it or not. What do I do now? So the Gemara says, according to Behuda, Safik kar, Kriya Shema Safik lekar, ein echayzev ekayre. Doesn't go back. Safik lahakal. However, says the Gemara, Safik Omar Emet V'yatzev, Safik Loy Omar, and let's say he's not sure if he said the bracha after the Kriya Shema, that's Chayzev Omar. Then he goes back. Says the Gemara, my time, Kriya Shema Derabonon Emet V'yatzev Derais. Says the Gemara, Kriya Shema is Derabonon. The whole Kriya Shema, the sacred Kriya Shema that we all know of, says the Gemara, according to Behuda, the whole thing is Derabonon. Maska for Rabbi Yosef says, what are you talking about? Ubishach b'chav kumecha. It says in the Torah, we say in the Shema, you're supposed to do this when you go to sleep or when you wake up. So that means you're supposed to say the Kriya Shema when you wake up. He says, say Kriya Shema when you go to sleep. So it's Daraisa. How do you call it Rabbanan? Amalei Abaya, who be divrei Torah? That's not referring to the mitzvah of reciting of Kriya Shema. That's referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They have a din to learn Torah, both b'shach b'chav kumecha.
Which Kriya Shema are we talking about here?
Regular.
Morning
Anna. Yeah, regular, not Shalmita, the regular Kriya Shema. So the Shita Rabbi Yehuda is Kriya Shema as Derabanan.
Why did the Gemara accept that the Emes
V'yatzev? Okay, so that we need to talk a little bit more about. It comes up later on in the Halacha. Hopefully, if there's time, we'll get to it. Says the second Shita of the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar Oymer Safik Kar Kriya Shema, Safik Loikar Chayzev Ekayre Kriya Shema. Says Rabbi Lazar, no. If you misubik, if you read Kriya Shema, you have to read it again. Why is Dr. Rashi number two left side? Because Kriya Shema is deraisa. We know Safik deraisa l'chumra, Safik derabanan l'kul. So the machloikis in the Gemara and Brachis is gufa, is Kriya Shema deraisa. So then you have to go l'hachmer, is Kriya Shema derabanan. So how do we paskin l'halacha? Machloikis in the Gemara. So Rav Rishayim, if not all Rishayim, paskin that Kriya Shema is deraisa. Achrayim quote, and I wasn't zeich to find it, but I trust everyone, that Rabbi Yain is supposed to write somewhere in Brachis, not like this. That Rabbi Yain is supposed to write in Brachis that Taka Kriya Shema is derabanan. So that's a massive chiddush to hold that Kriya Shema is derabanan. Now, it's not so relevant for us, the case of Safik, which maybe it is, but it's relevant to another shaila. When we did the sugya of Zmanim, we spoke a lot about the things that are deraisa and things that are derabanan work with a different Zman. The Ramon, the Chabon, Shulchan Aruch, Paskins very clearly, Dine derabanan, you work with a different configuration of the three stars. They don't have to be as, the sizes are different, whatever it may be. So if you hold Kriya Shema as derabanan, so you're really working with a different clock than if you hold Kriya Shema as deraisa. But it's not Negeya, because we Paskin, as we'll see, number three in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, Paskins clearly, in Simon Samach Zayin, Safik im Kar Kriya Shema, if you misubik, if you read Kriya Shema, Chayzev Ekayre, you have to read it again. Why are you reading it again? That's because you hold, like the Sheet in the Gemara, that Kriya Shema is Deraisa. Now, the end of the Mechaber is important for us. It says that Chayzev Ekayre, Umivarech Lefenehu L'Achreah. And not only do you read the Kriya Shema again, you also have to make the brachas. Avalim Yedea Shekarah, but if you know you said the Shema, Elosh Mesupik Iberech Lefenehu L'Achreah, then Eina Chayzev. Okay, so that needs some form of discussion. But what we need from this Mechaber is that the Mechaber paskens very clearly that Kriya Shema seemingly is there. And Mishtabur writes it off and on the page, but it's Pasha from the Cheshbon of the Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch paskens Kriya Shema is deraisa. So now we know Kriya Shema is deraisa. We haven't yet resolved an issue that is a big machloikis, which part of Kriya Shema is deraisa. Kriya Shema is made up of many parts. You have the first Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, and the Pasuk of Baruch Shem. Then you have a Hafta, the Hayim Shemaya, Leman and Vayomer. Which part of the Kriya Shema is deraisa? That we haven't yet seen. But we know the Mechaber holds, as does the Torah and Rav Rishonim, that Kriya Shema, at least some part of it, is deraisa. Now let's discuss a little bit the Rambam Shita. Again, I apologize, there's no number four. That was a mistake, so we'll go straight to 5. Says the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Kriya Shema, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph and Beis. Very important reading the Rambam. It would be more geshmak to learn this Rambam more of like in a Sunday morning style, really to be medayik properly, but there's definitely a lot of important halacha that comes out from this Rambam. Zok the Rambam. We read the Kriya Shema twice a day, night and morning. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk. When normal people go to sleep, that's nighttime. So that's how we know that Kriya Shema is recited. It's a twice a day mitzvah, it's not a once a day mitzvah. If there's time, maybe we can be Masber, Alpi Drush. Why is it like that? This is one of the most unique mitzvahs that we have, that it's done twice a day. Most other mitzvahs are done once a day. Okay, we daven 3 times a day, but midaraisa, right? Tefillin we put on once a day. We say Krishma twice a day. So if there's time, maybe we'll be masber why I think there is like that, and why it's bedavka b'shach b'cha uvkumecha. Why is the nature of the mitzvah not at 10 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon? It's bedavka when you go to sleep, meaning the end of your day, and when you start, and before you start your day, when right when you get up. And I think Al-Pi Drush is definitely what to talk about. But in any case, yes, it is. The Rambam writes before us in the next Kabbalahs that women are potter. Nonetheless, they should try to be Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, but make her then their potter. Yeah. Says the Rambam, Umahu Kaire, what exactly does Kriya Shema look like? Zok the Rambam, Shloisha Parashas Elu. You read these 3 parashas. Elu hen, what are they? Shema, Vayim Shema, Vayim. Those are what we know today as the 3 parashas of Shema. Umakdim and Likra is Parashas Shema. Then the Rambam gives you a background, which is also a shtickle, not the derech of the Rambam. The Rambam is to tell you what to do, not so much the drush behind it, but here he gives you a hezbo. Zok the Rambam, Seder of the Parashas. First Parasha, Umakdim and Likra is Parashas Shema. Shema goes first, and they sheesh b'yichad Hashem. That's the part where we talk about Hashem Echad. That's the very important line. How many Jews have gone to their death with those words on their lips? They say, I think they say about Himmler, that by the time the war was over, Himmler already knew the word Shema Yisrael by heart. He heard it so many times, he already knew, he heard that he knew those words. So how many Jews in our history have died through the generations with those words on their mouth? Right? So that's important because that's Yichud Hashem. V'havosoi v'talmudoi. Then we have the Yichud Hashem v'havosoi v'talmudoi shu ikar ha'godol shakol tol yibo. That's the v'hafta. Love Hashem b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, all those things. Then v'achreya v'ayim shemaya sheish b'tzivay al skir v'shar kala mitzvahs. Then v'ayim shemaya is a general parasha of mitzvahs. V'yachakach parasha tzitzis. Then we get to parasha tzitzis. Shegam yesh ba mitzvahs tzivay z'chiras b'chol ha-mitzvahs. So it's interesting, the Rambam learns that the significance of parasha tzitzis is it also has mitzvahs in there. This week's parasha is the parasha of tzitzis. Other mefarshim have a different spin on the last parasha of Kriya Shema. That has in it Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's why we'll see that many Achrayim hold that the last parasha of Kriya Shema will be Deraisa, not because of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, it'll be Deraisa because of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. If you look at the new Siddurim now, they have a little on the side, they write, you should be Mechavim when you read the last parasha for the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the Rambam Shita. L'chayrenat. So the Shagas Aryeh has a Givaldic piece over here. Shagisari was one of the great Gedolim of the 1700s. He was a Goyin Adir. There's some great stories about him. Some of them are not true. Some of them are true. One of the stories I think they say is true about him, that he had a position, I think it was in Minsk, and he had to leave because people weren't being all that nice to him. So on his way out of the town, he said, I can't believe there's so many, when are the fires going to end in Minsk? And they say that after he left, there were tons and tons of fires in the city of Minsk. It was a klola from the Shagisari. So that story, I think they say, is true. The other story about the Shagasaya was fascinating. The Shagasaya became the rabbi of Metz. Metz, France was the position to get. All the rabbonim at that time were fighting for this position. In the mid-1700s, that was like the best job you can get. I guess they paid well, they had good benefits, I'm not sure. I think the people were very learned also. So he got that position when he was 70 years old. Not a youngster to first get a job. Today, you find a rabbi, he's going to get a position at 70 years old. Good luck, right? 70 years old, he's not going to, no rabbi's going to get a job, but he got the job. And they told him that, we're nervous, how long are you going to be? He said, trust me, I'll be for 20 years. He died at 90. Shagasaya died at 90. So the story goes that when the Shagasaya, he got in a fight with the Kehillah in the beginning. And he didn't like the way they were doing things, so he made a macha. He's not walking into the shul except for 4 times a year. He walked in 4 times to give a sermon. That was the extent of his involvement in the shul. And he stayed on as a rabbi for many, many years. He only came 4 times a year. Can you imagine? If that would work today, the rabbi says, I'm disagreeing with the board. I'm only showing up 4 times a year to give, I guess, the Shabbos HaGadol and the Shabbos Shuvah and 2 other drushes. And that was his involvement in the shul until the day he died. The story, which I think is not so true about the Shagasaya, as they say, is that the way he died is that his svarim fell on him. And it took a while till his Tamidim were able to pick him up, bring him onto the bed. And he said that all the Svarim that fell on me were all people that I argued on, but they all were Meichel me. The only one who wasn't was the Levush. The Levush wasn't Meichel me, and therefore I know I'm going to die in Kachavi shortly after he died. Now there's two versions to the story. One story is, he said, I spoke to all these people, and I spoke to the Levush. He couldn't have spoken to the Levush, because the Levush died 80 years before the Shagasai was even born. So that story doesn't work. The way you say it better is that I knew that they were Meichel me. I already knew that. But that's where the story goes with the Shagasai. So he literally was 90 years old. He was a going out of the Shagasai. But he stood up for what he believed. He also got involved at that time, like all the Gedolim in the 1700s, they all had to get involved in the Yonistan Ibshis Biakavem the Machloikit. So he also got involved in that. They all had to deal with that issue at that time in history. So the Shagasai has a Geshmaka Sefer. So the first couple Simanim in a Sefer, and he talks about Kriyashma. So Simon Bays is what he talks about, what we need. And Simon Aleph, he actually talks about what we mentioned very quickly, is that the Raisa, the Rabbanan, not so negated to us, but he talks about the Rambam Sheet and Simon Bays. The question is, what does the Rambam hold? Which part of Shema is the Raisa? Now you'll ask me, why does this make such a difference? So the answer is, it makes a huge difference in the Kavanah that you need to have when you say Kriya Shema. We know, as we'll learn a little later tonight, there's a rule, everyone knows, that mitzvah is deraisa, tzrichas kavan. Mitzvah is derabanan, ain't tzrichas kavan, which is, that itself is not even so simple. So you gotta know which part of Kriya Shema is deraisa. I gotta know, what am I supposed to be thinking when I say the Kriya Shema tonight and tomorrow? What should I be thinking? Which part of the Shema? And what are the proper thoughts? So the Shagasai writes over in number 6, he says, very easy, Labal Prichadash. He says, I saw the Prichadash. Prichadash lived about 100 years before the Shagasai. He writes, Sheherich lechiach sheshma voyim shema yahav min ha-Torah. The Prichadash Shita is that Shema and Vahoya, the first two parashiyos, those are both deraisa. Because of Shekin Matin Divi Haram Perak Alf Melchus Krishma. And the Prichadash adds, he thinks that's also the Shita of the Rambam, that the first two parashiyos are deraisa. On that point, the Shagasai disagrees. And he writes, says the Shagasai, I disagree, I don't think that's correct. I think it's not so. Elo kriyas parasha Shema. Except for Shema. Only Shema is deraisa. Avoloi v'hoyoyim Shemaya. But not the second parasha. Why? The Isaac of Daitach Trevayu have min ha-Torah. Zok the Shagasai, I bring you a riot. Because if the Rambam Shita was really that both the first two parashas are deraisa, havli l'mechshav l'kriyas based parashas elush de mitzvah saseh. The Rambam should have counted that there's two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah deraisa to recite the first parasha, and there's a separate mitzvah deraisa to recite the second parasha. This is a similar tumah we have by tefillin. Is there two separate mitzvahs that counted a mitzvah to wear tefillin shal yad, and there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin shal reish? So argue the Shagasai, there's two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to recite the first parasha of Shema, because both parashas have the words u'b'shach b'cha u'v'kumecha in it. So that means each has a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to read the first parasha, and there's a mitzvah to read the second parasha. Dovadai says the Shagasai, Dovadai im akev ezu. What would happen if a person were to read one parasha and not the other parasha? So he'd get a mitzvah for this and not a mitzvah for that. Tabuchol chad v'chad enichtam shach v'chukumecha b'apin avshi. There are seven mitzvahs. V'mkara achas men v'loy kares ha-shniya oysi shakara miyo yatsadei chavasai. Says the Shagasai, that one that you did, you'd get credit for it. They're not totally zeh b'zeh. They're not two mitzvahs. They're not one mitzvah with two parts. They're two independent mitzvahs. The Rambam only says one big mitzvah. He only counts it as one. So the Shagasai, his argument is the Rambam would have counted as two mitzvahs. Therefore, it's not true. V'hayim Shema is not midiraisa. The only part that midiraisa is Shema. So learns the Shagasai. The Aruch HaShulchan in number 7 brings down an interesting shita. He writes that although we're discussing that whether or not Shema is deraisa or Shema is derabanan, says the Aruch HaShulchan, v'zehu das reiv rabbeseinu, most Rishonim hold that Shema is deraisa, v'af ha-soiv n'kriya Shema derabanan, says the Aruch HaShulchan, even if you hold Kriya Shema derabanan, moidim gam kem sheish chiyav u'mitzaseh min ha-Torah l'kroyseh b'shach b'chov kumecha. That doesn't mean that if you recite Kriya Shema, you're only fulfilling a mitzvah on a rabbinic level. It's not true. There's a mitzvah deraisa to do b'shach b'chov kumecha. What's the shayla? Elo the svila de minatayri yatsim gam b'shara parasha shal Torah. Those we shayla hold, you don't have to only read this. If I read parashas shmini b'shach b'cha uv kumecha, I'd also be in fulfillment. V'rabbanan tikkun likras gimel parashas elu miu anan kaim b'lon de kriya shema mamash deraisa, we hold kriya shema as deraisa. Okay. Now, says Aruch HaShulchan, v'yeshayimim, derak pasuk rishon hu minatayri. Shita number 1 is that only the first pasuk, just Shema. Okay? Then we have what we saw in the Prichodosh that holds Shema and Vayoyim Shemaya. Then we have the Shagasai that holds only Shema. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I think everyone is wrong. I think the whole thing is Deraisa. And I think that's the Shittas of the Rambam. And that's Taka way Reb Shach in the Sefer Avi Ezri. He learns the Rambam like that also. Argues the Aruch HaShulchan in the second paragraph. Ulvashish Tchias L'Shoyne Mash B'Shukul Men HaTorah. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, from Pasha reading the Rambam, you get the feeling that it's all Deraisa. V'oid, he says, I'll prove it to you. The Imnem Adirak Parsha B'Shoyne Men HaTorah. If you hold like the Shagasaya, that's only the first Parsha. Ayrak Pasuk Rishon. I don't understand. If the Rambam believed that only the first pasuk, the first parasha is deraisa, why does the Rambam have this long discussion of the order? Why does this go before this and this go before that? Says Rosh Hashanah, parshat. The first one goes first because that's deraisa. Deraisa has precedent. So therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's all. Void another raya. The Yadua Darkei B'chol Chiburei Hagadol Shemevar Ma'udei Raisu Ma'ad Rabbanon. The Rambam is not secretive to tell us what's the Rais and what's the Rabbanon. If the Rambam wanted to tell us, like the Shagasayeh, or even like the Prichodesh, that some's the Rais and some's the Rabbanon, he should have told us. Nowhere is it mentioned this distinction. Therefore, concludes the Aruch HaShulchan, the whole Shema, the whole experience is the Rais. So you'll ask me, why is this all so relevant? The answer is, it's very relevant to know, what am I supposed to be thinking when I recite the Kriya Shema? Am I supposed to be thinking that I'm fulfilling, do I need to be thinking that I'm fulfilling a mitzvah, because we hold mitzvah tzrichas kavano? Or we can say, nah, it's a drabon, and for the drabon we pass the mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavano. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Samach, which is right in the middle of Hilchas Kriya Shema, goes through the whole discussion of mitzvahs tzrichas kavano, mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavano. Oh, let's just, before we get to that, look at number 9, the Mishnah Berurah recaps what we just learned. It says in Mishnah Berurah number 9, the Yesh Shalosh Deyos Ben HaPoskim. There's three major opinions in the Poskim. Yesh Shalim Derak Pasuk Rishon Bavarhu Min HaTorah, that only the first Pasuk is Midaraisa. The Yesh Shalim Dechol HaParsha Rishon Hu Min HaTorah, the first whole Parsha. The Yesh Shalim Degam HaShnia that Shema and Vahoya is Midaraisa, Upasha Tzitzis Ukuliyam Huminatayra. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Tzitzis Parsha, that's not even on the discussion. Why? Because they're Lahaski, it's Yis Mitzrayim. Because you have to read it anyways, because you have to fill the mitzvah, it's Yis Mitzrayim. What he means, Pasha, what he means to say is that you'll be in fulfillment of a mitzvah deraisa if you have a mind to be Yitzis Mitzrayim. That's what he means. Vitikna Lahaski Bizman Kriyashma. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting a Magen Avraham, number 10. So, what should I be thinking about when I recite Kriya Shema tonight? Am I supposed to be thinking through all the parashiyas that I'm thinking about mitzvah tzrichas kavanah? Will it be ma'akiv? Let's say after Shema and Vahavta, I start to space out. So now I'm in the middle of Ahoyim Shemaya, and I'm not thinking that I'm doing this to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. Would that be ma'akiv and ma'akim ha-mitzvah? Do we say mitzvah tzrichas kavanah to the point that I'm not yoytze? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Simon Samach. Kasav a Magen Avraham b'shem Haradvaz. Magen Avraham quotes Haradvaz. Dezeh davka b'mitzvah deraisa. When the Mechaber ruled mitzvah tzrichas kavona, that's only by mitzvah deraisa. Avo b'mitzvah derabonon ain't tzarech kavona. Okay, that's great. That's important information. This is where everyone knows this idea. Everyone knows that mitzvah tzrichas kavona is only for deraisa, but not for derabon. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. That's the Magen Avraham quoting Haradvaz. Says Mr. Buran, it's not even so pashut. Huh? That would be, but even on that, this is all b'diavad. Obviously, the chatchili should have. At least b'diavad, according to Radvaz, if it would be a mitzvah derabonon, you would be yoy to the mitzvah, while the rice, you would not be yoy to the mitzvah. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, ulefiza, kol ha-brachas sheim gam kein derabonon, levam ibech zamozim, lekiv mem lotzeis yotze b'diavad. So first of all, brachas are derabonon, except for benching, and maybe brechas ha-toyroh, which I think we had a show once about. But any other brachas, only derabonon, brachas only derabonon. However, says Mr. Brewer, it's not so poshut. Ach b'kama mikoymis b'shulchan aruch mash b'shulchel kalzeh. Says the Mr. Brewer, I think there's many places that I think the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with this Radvaz, and the Shulchan Aruch holds not like that. V'chei mibir ha-gurabis ha-mintof peites mashma gam kein she'ein l'chalik b'mitzvah d'reis l'mitzvah d'rabon. So, that's questionable, but that's what everyone knows. Everyone knows that Allah l'maisa, that mitzvah shvichas kavana for d'reisa and not for d'rabonon, that's from this Magen Avraham with this Radvaz, even though the Mr. Brewer points out, it might not be so simple. So if this is the case, at least l'chatchila, when we're reciting the Kriya Shema, we should be choshish of all the shitas, and we should have in mind for the Shema, v'hoyim shemaya, v'yoymer, we should always have in mind, keeping in mind this idea that we want to be mechavin to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of kach tziva kodesh baruch hu. We want to do Hashem's will. What happens if we didn't think it? Do we have to say Kriya Shema again? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a gavaldik chiddush from the Chai Adam. The Chayyadim was really the end of the 1700s. He was towards the end of the 1700s, really into the next generation, into the 1800s. Chayyadim was a big Pesach in Vilna. Says the Chayyadim, That when we require you to do a mitzvah again, if you didn't have kavanah, that's when the action you did, there's a strong reason to believe, was not done l'shem mitzvah. Kigoin, betkiya shahoisa l'slamid. If a guy blows shofar because he's trying to teach a kid how to blow shofar. Or you're saying the parasha of Kriyashma because you're trying to teach someone how to learn. So then we suspect that you weren't doing it for the right, for the reason of the mitzvah. Says the Chayadim, Avon Kairi Kriyashma Kederach Shana Kairi Mesei Detfilah. But if you're in Shul and Ma'ariv at night, or you're Shachos in the morning, although your mind is in a million other places, but you're saying Kriyashma with the rest of the Kehillah, you're doing what everyone else is doing. V'chein Shachol Matzah. You eat matzah not at Pesach. Why are you eating? That's what you're doing in the night of Seder. You eat matzah. I talk about not the lulav, or you shook a lulav in shul. You're not thinking anything in shul. You're following the crowd. You're shaking the lulav like everyone else's. Then says the chayyadim afbish like kivin lotzeis yotzah shari mishum ze also kedei lotzeis afal pish ena mechavin. So this is an unbelievable cool from the chayyadim. This means as long as you're doing what deemed looks like perceived as a mitzvah, although you're not thinking mitzvah, that's good enough. When we said mitzvah shvichas kavanah, that means when we can't tell from the action anything else unless you inject it into it, explicit kavanah. Again, needs much more explanation than I'm giving, but I'm just quoting the words of the Chayyadim. So this will help us, a lot of us. For many of us, when we're in shul, we're just going through the motions like everyone else's. We're not thinking too much, but that l'chayyadim would be sufficient according to the Chayyadim. However, concludes the Mishnah Berurah, the last two lines, v'chol zeh l'inyan b'dieved. This is only b'dieved. Before a person does a mitzvah deraisa, and lechatchila mitzvah derabanan, he should say to himself, I'm getting ready to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, the basic level for mitzvah shechitz kavanah means I'm doing this because kach tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm saying the Shema now, I'm saying the Shema tomorrow morning, because Hashem commanded me to say the Kriyashma. So when I start the Shema, I think that, and again, I assume that the das continues throughout. I don't know if you have to consciously, we inject that. Once you already have that in your mind, I'm saying the Shema, and you look at the Shema as one whole package, so you have das, that when you're saying Shema, and Vahoyah, and Vayim, and Laman, whatever, you're having das to fulfill the Tzivah Hashem. Let's say you didn't, so according to the Chayodim, B'diyeved, you would probably be Yotze as long as you said Kriya Shema in the structure of the davening. Yeah.
Does Kavanah imply that you have to also be aware whether it's a Derabbanim or Deraisa?
Chur or not, yeah, well, I'm saying it's hard to believe you're doing because Hashem commanded to you if Hashem didn't command you to do it. If Chazal commanded you to do it, so then it's hard to believe it. So I would assume we should be choshish for all the shittas, assume it's all the raisa. So when a person thinks about Shema, the whole parsha, he's saying it because Hashem commanded him. Now that's a very basic level of kavanah. Is that all that's required for Shema? So it sounds like, yeah, that's all you gotta do. What about Kabbalah Samach Shema? What about Pirush Amilus? So for that, we turn to the next page, halacha number 11. The Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch Hashem in Samach. Zog the Mechaber, HaKoyu Eshma V'loi Kivin Liboi B'Posek Rishin. A person reads the Shema, and he had absolutely no kavana for the first Pasuk, Shul Shema Yisrael. He was totally in another world when he said the Shema Yisrael, which I think happens to many of us, myself included. Says the Mechaber, Lo Yotzi Dechavosei. It's not Yotzi Shema. The Hashar, what about the rest of the Shema? So im loy kivin liba, if he was not mechavin, afilu hayikayu b'teira. Let's say he was reading it as part of the Torah. Or he megia parsha se'elu ba'inos kriya Shema. Or he was reading it to, proofreading it. He wanted to make sure the Sefer Torah was good, so he read through the whole Shema. Says the mechaber yotza. He's yotza. V'hu shekivin liba b'posik rishon. But you need to have kavana by the first pasuk. So the question is, what happened to what we just learned a second ago? Didn't we just learn mitzvah tzrichas kavana? You have to have kavana for the whole thing? And now the Shulchan Aruch says you only have to have kavana for the first pasuk? Which one is it? So Mr. Brewer addresses this question. And Mr. Brewer says, like every good brisker stickle Torah, there's two types of kavanah. There's one type of kavanah means the kavanah of I know what I'm saying. And there's another kavanah is I know what I'm doing. I can recite words and I have no idea what the words mean, but I know I'm saying these words because Hashem said, say these words. That's mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. I need to know that I'm about to say this whole long chapter of words, of Hebrew words. I'm saying it because Hashem commanded me to say this twice a day. I have no idea what I'm saying. That's one level of kavanah. That's for the whole Kriya Shema. The required level for the first pasuk is I have to know what those words mean. Shema, Yisrael, Vos Meit. What do they mean? If I don't know what those words mean, I know. I'm saying this because Hashem wants me to do it. But if I have no idea what those words mean, says Mechaber, I am not Yotzi Kriya Shema. Says Mishmur number 12, Kivan Liboy, Kavana Zu Hamura Kan Einenu HaKavana Hamur B'Sif Dalet. This is not the same Kavana that we learned about in Sif Dalet. The Shomu HaKavana Losses Dei Chavis Mitzvah. Zeh Binu L'Chama Parashiyos. That type of Kavana you need for all the Shema. You need to think about what am I saying. That's only ma'akiv for the first pasuk. If you don't know Shema Yisrael, sheyesh ba'ikr kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. That's the major accepting of kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. This achdusa yisbarach and the oneness of Hakadosh Baruch. V'yeshayim says Mishnah Berurah afilu kavana lotzeis uli yikuva. Even the other madrega of kavana lotzeis, that's only by the first pasuk as well. But the Mishnah Berurah sounds like not like that. That's so again, when a person recites Kriya Shema, so for the entire Shema, he's thinking I'm doing because Hashem said so. For the first pasuk, he must be thinking of, I'm translating the words in my head, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he must be translating those words. Says the Shulchan Aruch number 13, Iker HaKavona Hu B'Pasuk Rishon. The main Kavona is for the first Pasuk. Hilkach, Im Karev Lekivin Liboy B'Pasuk Rishon, if you said Shema, and you did not have in your mind Pirish Amilus, Lo Yotzi Dechavosai, you're not yet to the mitzvah. The chayz b'kar, you have to read it again. Va'afilu man da'omer mitzvahs ain't shrichas kavanah moed debahach. Why? Because mitzvah shrichas kavanah is a question of what am I doing? Am I doing this because Hashem said so? This is a question of do I understand what I'm saying? Now, if you remember when we learned the sugya of kavanah for Shemoneh Esrei a long time ago, we mentioned there that the halacha says that if you don't have kavanah by the first bracha, you don't repeat the Shemoneh Esrei again. Here it says, if you don't have kavanah for this pasuk, you do have to repeat the Kriya Shema. So we asked back then, why is there a difference? So the simple answer is because the reason why you don't repeat Shema Nesri again, although you should, is because the Torah writes, it's a waste of time. You won't be mechavan the second time either. So why bother? But over here, it's one small line. It's probably a little easier than a whole bracha of avos. Therefore, we require you. The other answer might be, this is the Raisa and this is the Rabban. That might be the other answer. But the Maisa, the Shulchan Aruch, is very clear that if a person is not mechavin to what the words are in the first pasuk, lo yotza, is not yetzir the mitzvah, the Raisa. Now, besides for that, is that the Gemaras and Mefarshim talk about how bad it is. The severity of not saying Kriya Shema, it's a very terrible thing. So obviously, no one wants to walk around without fulfilling the mitzvah properly. But according to this, it's very easily not to fulfill. If the first pasuk of Shema, you don't know what the words mean, you're not Yates.
But you're not chosen that one pasuk, you're chosen the balance.
If you want to start splitting them up, I guess. Right.
So in other words, the scheme of things,
well, I'm not sure. I would argue that maybe the mitzvah has a bunch of parts to it, so you didn't do the mitzvah mishle musay. You're missing an integral part of the mitzvah. So you don't have a full mitzvah. Maybe you're arguing you'll get credit for the other.
Making what? Making that position, you're saying that it wipes your mamish chayav on everything.
What do you mean by
chet? I don't do the first pasuk. Say, just come in and say, go after. I totally forgot about it. Wasn't Yossi the mitzvah?
I would assume that, unless you start to make the argument that the mitzvah is made up of a bunch of parts, which, I don't know. Yeah, you could read it out of order. You could read it out of order. There's no question. No, but if you're missing an element of the Shema, if the Shema has three parts, then you're missing one of the parts. So he's arguing, so you'll get one third of the credit. I would have assumed the pshat is that you don't, there's no partial credit. Whatever, you know what I mean? Right, but the way it's broken down is into parshas. It's pasuk rishayin, two parshas. I hear the argument. Now, what about baruch shem kvei machus alei lomva? It seems like a very innocent line in the Shema, which we'll have to get to where it even comes from. But the Mishnah Berurah says something unbelievable. Number 14 says the Mishnah Berurah, ayin sivkot and yud aleph, du adin baruch shem kvei machus alei lomva. Ve'im loikivim bo agamkein tzarech lachzav l'kreisi bekavon. Right, so everyone has all their mind. Everyone's focused on the Shema, and people forget there's another line after there. Again, it's not in the Torah, that line. It's not in the Parsha of Shema. But it's a very important pasuk, to the point that the Mishnah Berurah paskins, it could be also ma'akev the Kriya Shema. So Frektiv Yaakov Kamenetsky says, I don't understand. How could it be that if I'm not mechavin for the pasuk, I'm not yetzer, the Bir Halacha himself paskins that if I skipped that line, I'm still yetzer Kriya Shema. So if I could skip the line and still be yetzer Kriya Shema, how could it be that if I say it incorrectly, it should hold everything up? It doesn't make any sense. So Yaakov, in number 15, Nemes Yaakov asks this kasha, and he says that you should know, he makes a shtikla kimta in the Mishnah Berurah. At the end of the last three lines, he writes, Av mekom mokim, im lekivim bo tzarech lachzav l'chavim. Avad in the Mishnah Berurah is right, that if you said it without kavani, you have to go back. U be'emes loshen tzarech lehavi loshen chiv. Says Rabbi Yaakov that when it says tzarech, it doesn't mean you need to, because technically it's no worse than skipping it. Elosh tzarech lachzav is kain av le'ina li'ikuvah. That's a pretty big doichik in the reading of the Mishnah Berurah, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov says, Avada, you'd be yoitza even if you weren't mechavin, because it's no worse than not saying it at all. But tzarech, it means you should. The right thing is to go back and say it again. So answers Rabbi Yaakov this contradiction between what he calls the two Mishnah Berurah. So lemaisa, we should be zohir to say the Baruch Shem properly. So we have the Shema, the Baruch Shem, and the rest of the parashas, Kavon Lotzeis. Again, lechatchila, Pirush HaMilos would be great also, but lechatchila, we need to have Kavon Lotzeis. Okay, let's see what else is interesting about the Kriya Shema experience. Number 16, I tried to pick the things that don't get so much discussion about and talk about those. Those things are a little bit under the radar in the Kriya Shema. Like initially I thought I was going to talk about the big things that everyone talks about, you know, how to pronounce the words and the echad and the this and that. Maybe, but I decided to go on the under the radar topics. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 16, Shem Tzamach Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Noyagim Likrois Pasigrishim Bekol Rom. The minig is to recite the first pasuk of Kriya Shema out loud. Kedei lo'oyir hakavon. To be ma'ari kavon. Halacha hei. Noyagim liten yedehem al pneihem bekriyas pasuk Kriya Shema. Every small child knows that the way you recite Kriya Shema is you put your hand on your face. Where does it come from? It comes from this Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. But if you look carefully at the words of the Mechaber, how does he write it? Noyagim liten yedehem, their hands, al pneihem, on your face. Doesn't say anything about your eyes. It says your face. Bekriyas Pasuk Rishon. When you recite the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema, why? Right? Why? The great question. Why do we cover our eyes? Kedei shelo yistakel bedavar acher shemenea melechavin. Very simple reason to ensure you have kavana. That's it. Very simple question. The reason why we cover our face, our eyes, when we recite Kriya Shema, says the Mishnah Berurah, is for one reason. To ensure you have kavana. Since kavana... Okay, we're going to get to that, right? The Shulchan Aruch never really discusses your eyes, it discusses your face. But the simple reason Mechaber gives is no major Kabbalistic reasons, even though there is reasons given. It's a simple pshat, says the Shulchan Aruch, to ensure you have kavan. Says the Mr. Bu, what does he mean? That's right. That's correct. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Because it says Pneim, it says on your face. That makes much more sense with the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Mr. Bu points out over here, Ratzloyme Yadimin. It's your right hand. Although the Mechaber sounds like Yiddehem. He says, well, you know, put both your hands. Now, the truth, if you really wanted to cover your eyes well, you would do both hands. So you can't peek on the side. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, no, it's your right hand. So what's the shayla that now is always going to arise? What about if you're a lefty? So if you're going to use your right hand, what happens if you're a lefty? So the Betzina Rav wrote a whole kuntris about lefties. So it's a grand negate to me, my son is a lefty. I already told my wife, I said, Belina, that we're not going to have one of those bar mitzvah pshetels about lefties. Everyone comes to the bar mitzvah, they're waiting to hear, oh, he's a lefty, are they going to go through the whole, yeah, he does this, he does that. I told my wife, we're going to try to talk about something more creative than that. But the Debitzina Rav wrote an entire kuntris for lefties. I had a Talmud of mine today, told me he has 5 lefties in his house, and his family. So he told me he's got to see this bear motion inside, very relevant to him. So he wrote, Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky also wrote a kuntris about lefties. Throughout the generations, people, just for Yediyah Ba'alma, the stipler was a lefty also. So we have a lot of halachas for lefties come from the stipler, as we have on the page here. The stipler himself was a lefty. So the Debitzina Rav wants to know, what about a lefty? Which way should a lefty cover his eyes? Now, the truth is, between me and you, it probably doesn't matter all that much, because the point is to be able to mechabit. So whichever hand you use, it's probably not the end of the world. But, to be fair and honest, in halacha, the Be'er Moshe writes in the Tshuva, in Chelik Beis Simen Hei, he writes like this, Va'ata hashay le'iter, the lefty, Eze yodoy yitein al einov, which hand does he cover his eyes with? Yadimin delay, does he use his right hand, meaning his left hand, his stronger hand? A yadimin da'alma, or does he go with the rest of the world? Now again, we spoke about this in other areas in halacha. We spoke about this when you take 3 steps back for Shemin Esrei, when you take 3 steps forward. We talked about the Be'er Halacha talks about left-footed people. Says the Debitzin v'shelz v'nitshal l'fanenu v'ayirah kalasor kula she'ovah l'fanenu kvar u'mashiyav mikano l'alo. He quotes an Aliyah Rabba. The Aliyah Rabba brings down the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that says, Yiskar Einov, close your eyes, B'yodah Hayamanis, with your right hand, or B'yodah Hasamoilis, Yochad Adal Tzitzis. So the Aliyah Rabba gives you very, very clear rules. Tzitzis in the left hand, cover your eyes with your right hand. Then he quotes him from the Shara HaKavonis, from Chaim Bital, quoting from the Arizal, who says, Koidim Shetoyma Shema Yisrael, Tiska Shnei Necho B'yad Yimincha. You should close your eyes with your right hand. So to me, that sounds like you mamash close your eyes like this. You put your hands over your eyes by closing them, right? U'b'yad Chah HaSmoilis Tachas Da'al Tzitzis V'yumunachem Al Libech. says the Debitzi Narish and Nifshat Shelisenu. This is the answer to our question. Shagam ituyad yitin yat yiminda alma alinov. He's supposed to also use his right hand because he's going to use his left hand for the tzitzis. So his right hand is going to be for the shema. So zok the debitzin aruloch lemaisa. That's what you should do. Paskin the orchas rabenu the stipler mayiv rebbe afshu iter gomer. The stipler was a full blown lefty, not even one of those partial lefties. Noyeg litin yode hayimonis al einov bikuyas pasuk rishon. He would put his right hand on his head. He even covered his eyes when he said it in Karbonis, that part of Shema. Even though because he was lefty, so he had the tefillin on his right hand, he still covered it with his right hand. So I asked my son, he's 4 years old, I said, Nu, what do you do? You're a lefty, what do you do? So he told me, his mother told him to use the right hand. I said, okay, that's up, sack, there you go. His mother said, use the right hand. So I told him, I think that's correct. I think that's what the Debitzin Rav held, and that's what the stipler held. Again, do I think it's ma'akiv? I don't think for a second any of this is ma'akiv. I think this is just whatever. Again, someone told me, a Talmud of mine told me, he davened in the lower side by Abdullah Feinstein. He said, Abdullah Feinstein just closes his eyes. He doesn't even put his hand on his head. Now, in theory, that makes a lot of sense. I know some people who cover their head like this, because it doesn't say you have to cover your eyes. It says cover your face. It's also your face. Over here's your face. Over here's your face. I know some people go like this. That's also covering your face. So again, I think we're getting a little too detailed over here. The point is, do whatever you need to do to be mechab. That's the chen. So that's the next halacha. So the Oz Nidberu was Binyamin Yeshua Zilber. He died not so long ago. He was 91 years old when he died. He wasn't so popular because he never had an official position in Eretz Yisrael. The Chazon Ish used to refer to him as the Tzaddik. He used to learn in the Chazon Ish's Kotel many, many years ago. He never had any formal position, so he's not so popular, but he wrote a lot of svarim. So the Oz Nidberu writes, number 20, Mishalavish Batei Nayim, someone who wears glasses. Ain't Tzarch Lassirim is Man Shoim Shema Yisrael. You don't have to take your glasses off when you say Shema Yisrael. Why? Sheikruhu Minog, first of all, the whole thing is a Minog. The Ein Lasa is Heidurim B'chumnos V'yisoyda Atzimis Anayim B'chazaka. You don't have to close your eyes with such strength. Imkein Loishayach Shehem Yechatzitzu. There's no problem over here that there's an issue of Chatzitza, that there's a hefsik between your hand and your eyes. It's not, none of that's true. The Loi Kimoishu Isi Machmir Mizan, not like I found in people that are Machmir, Kein L'chum Mizu Shumbosis V'gam B'valba Krishma. There is absolutely no basis for this idea that your hand has to be on your face. Because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, what's the Lashon? That Noigim Litin Yedeim Al Pneim has to be on your face. It can't be on the glasses. It says in Oz Nidberu, he doesn't think that's true. However, he does write, Shuvis Bananti. He says, I thought a little bit more about it, and I said, since be'etzem, closing your eyes works for kavanah, which is what I mentioned from David Feinstein, in Cain, so the stronger you close your eyes, the more kavanah you're going to have. So he says, that's the whole reason why you cover our eyes. To ensure you can't open your eyes. That doesn't help when you cover with on the glasses. You can really see through the ends. So he really thinks you have to take the glasses off so you get a good closing to make sure no peeking when you're saying the Shema. Right. So he says, Mikomak. Right, so he ends up saying, he thinks it's really fine. Again, that's why I was mocked with, I don't really think it's going to matter all that much, because I think no one's going to, I don't think anyone's going to say, you're not Yotze the Kriya Shema. The point is just to be Mechavan.
It's only for the first passing of Baruch Shem, then you have to close your eyes, right?
Correct, yeah. We'll get to that hopefully at some point. Now, the Divrei Yitziv, the Klozenberg Rebbe, also weighed in on this, and he quotes an interesting pshat in the middle. He quotes over here from the Maram Chagiz, who says, the reason why we close our eyes when we say Shema is to show that we're not only maimin in the things that we can see, we believe even in what we can't see. Nice Musar Hashkafic idea, right? We live in a world where, seeing is believing. Says the Maram Chagiz, Fakert, we close our eyes and we say, I believe in Hashem, to show that even if I don't see it and I don't know, I still believe in HaKadosh Baruch. But he still concludes at the same conclusion as the Oz Nidberu, that glasses are not makiv, you can put your hand over your glasses, it's not a problem. No, that's what the Baruch Shem is going to get to right now. So let's talk a little bit about, what I consider one of the more underrated parts of the Shema is the Baruch Shem. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Samach Aleph, we're number 22. Achar Pasuk Rishon, after you finish the first Pasuk, Tzarech Loima Baruch Shem Kivoy Machusoy Lilom Voed. You have to say that, Bachashoy. Say it quietly. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, and again, the Mishnah Berurah is cutting and pasting direct statements from a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Vav. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why? Shekishakari Yaakov Avinu Olav Hashem Levonov. When Yaakov gathered his children, Parshas Vayechi, Bigish the Galis Lahem Ezakets. He wanted to reveal them when Sheikh was going to come. Kedachsev Agidol Lechem Ezeh Sheikri Ezechem Achos Yom. Benistalkim Ben Eshchin Eshchin went away Vleinichasi the Galis. He was not allowed to reveal the secret. Oma Levonov. This is all in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Nun Vav Amanal. He told his children, Shema Yesh Bechem Yishen Hagen. Maybe the reason why I'm losing the, you know, the connection, so to say, is because one of you are not fit for it. At that moment, they all screamed together, Shema Yisrael. And then Yaakov responded to their Shema, Baruch Shem. Fine. And the Rabbanon said, Hey Chinavar, what are we supposed to do now? Should we now make this part of our Shema? Nimrei lo yamar Moshe. How can we make this part of the Shema? Moshe Rabbeinu never said it. We'll see what that means exactly. Loi nimrei, not to say Dhamma Yaakov. Yaakov said it, so it's got to be important. So the compromise was, instead of deleting it, we'll say it quietly. For who hekish ain't in our parsha k'suv b'teira rag Yaakov amar. And by saying it quietly, that will be the sign for David Dairis that this is like a later edition, not from Moshe, not in the Torah, but valued because it came from Yaakov Avinu. Now this is not the reason we were told when we were in third grade. This was not what they told us. And they told us the reason why we don't say it out loud is because Malachim say it. So what happened over there? Someone lied to us. We were gypped on our education. That's not, again, it's a before Shikamar. That's it. That something doesn't make sense. We all know that, because why? When it comes to Yom Kippur, we all know that on Yom Kippur we say Baruch Shem because we want to be like the Malachim. According to this, what does it do with the Malachim? That's not the issue. So this is one of the major problems. But before we even deal with that, this statement, or the Gemara, is somewhat difficult to understand. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, that's it, doesn't make the cut. That's the rule. That's how things work. So the Tzlach, also one of the great Gedolim of the 1700s, also one of the great Gedolim who waited on the Bionis and Eibshitz of Yaakov Emden Machlekes, he got involved in that. He tried to make Shalom between the two, and he was unsuccessful, nor was anyone else successful. No one was able to bring Shalom between those two, but he was one of the great Gedolim of the 1700s. Says the Noid Bihuda in his Sefer Hatzlach, he doesn't understand. What's Pshat in the Gemara? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, that's it. Moshe Rabbeinu decides what makes into the davening, into the Kriyashma. So says the Tzlach, that's not Pshat. He says, L'chein yon is deiti. She'ikarak beidah she'nif nafsik be'emtza divri Moshe b'shvach shalom yamahu. The problem is you can't interrupt the middle of a statement. We're in the middle of a phrase over here. Shema Yisrael v'ahavta. These were all pre-scripted words. And you're going to just insert something in the middle? He says, Shalom Yomahu, Kimoi Baruch Shem Kivim Achuzoi, She'onu Mavsikim Boi Bein Shema l'vahavta. B'zei Yishkbei the Shalom Yomah Moshe. Zog the Tzlach, the time is not because Moshe didn't say it. It's because when Moshe made the Torah, he didn't insert it into the... You're basically taking a pre-scripted script and adding to it. That you can't do. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what it is. And you say, well, no, I'm going to add a one line from Yaakov Avinu. That's what the Gemara means, says the Tzlach. Oh, says the Tzlach, if that's the Pshat. U'mizeh ha'tam l'mad l'zchus al k'tzas k'hilos ha'noigim k'she mis'ane be'erev v'shchoydish achet tfilos em kippurim katan o'im shma baruch shem b'kol ram. Many communities that say Erev and Kippur Katan every single Rosh Chodesh. So at the end of the Slichas, they say Baruch Shem out loud. Or if you've ever gone to one of these major Asifas, whenever there's major gatherings of Klal Yisrael, they also have a loud proclamation of Baruch Shem. Frek Tzlach, how is that permitted? I thought you're not supposed to say Baruch Shem out loud. Said the Tzlach, no, there's nothing wrong with saying Baruch Shem out loud. The problem is saying Baruch Shem out loud when it poses a shail of a hefzik between Shema and Vahavta. It doesn't fit there. So then we say it quietly because it doesn't really fit. However, says the Tzlach, but if you want to say any other time you want to scream Baruch Shem out loud, that we have no problem with. So that's the Tzlach's version. How does what help?
How does it help? If it's a hefzik, it's a hefzik. You're loud or low.
So if you turn to the next page, page 3. No, but according to the Tzlach, the problem is that this line of Baruch Shem doesn't fit here. It's really an interruption. So because it's an interruption, we say it quietly. So there's a sefer called Penine Tefillah. This is a sefer written by a fellow who was very close to Rabbi Yashiv. Now, I mentioned this many times, it's because I didn't mention it again, that we have very little writing from actually from Rabbi Yashiv. All the other Svarim are all hearsay. So this fellow wrote a sefer, and in his Akdama he writes, but this sefer is different. I made sure, and I did all the research, and everything that I have is authentic Piskei Rabbi Yashiv. Okay, I hope so. So in his Sefer Penine Tefillah, he quotes Rabbi Yashiv, asks the kasha that we just mentioned. Number 25, page 2, Udvarm Tzarech Bir. Im Mishum Hefzik, my Mahani Shem Belachash. If the tzlach is right, that our concern is hefsik, what do you gain by saying it quietly? So quietly you're mafsik. Hefsik is a hefsik. Doesn't matter how loud you are. So therefore Rabbi Yashiv had his own spin on this gemar. Says Rabbi Yashiv, Ela nir shabir le omru moisha, hainu. When we say Baruch Shem, it's as if we're saying we're better than Moshe. Moshe never said this line, and we're saying it, so we're above Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Shloyama, Moshe didn't say it, Hainu, Shohail Hasaga Bedava Kol Kach Gavaya. He didn't reach such a level. For Rak Yaakov Amar, Yaakov was able to say it. Shem Loiki, Mabakach Shem Moshe Loyam Reinu, says Rabbi Yashiv, you have to say this, because if not, who cares that Moshe didn't say it? There has to be some significance that Moshe didn't say it, because he wasn't at the Madrega. Because it's such an unbelievable statement, Baruch Shem, and Moshe didn't say, that's why we don't say it. Says Rabbi Yashiv in the next piece, number 28. Let's leave off of there. So according to Rabbi Yashiv, it's a whole different pshat. The pshat has to do with the fact that because Moshe wasn't on the Madriga, we can't be on the Madriga. Fine. Whatever the pshat may be, the halacha is the halacha. Everyone knows, you say Baruch Shem quietly. Why? Says the Gemara, Psachim, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say. So the question that I asked you earlier, that's direct contradiction to everything we ever learned. If you look at number 26, the Torah, Nechaz Yom Kippur writes, V'noigim ba'ashkenaz loyim Baruch Shem k'machusel yelomved b'kolram. We say Baruch Shem out loud. Why? V'smach l'dova v'medrish v'ela advarim rabba pashas v'aschanan. It says in the Medrish that, v'akishol Moshe l'rekia, when Moshe went up, to Shemayim, so he heard the Malachi Asharis, and they were praising Hashem with the line Baruch Shem Kivoy. And Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down to Klai. So that we know the Medrash, that it was a stickle stolen. So because it was stolen, we didn't really have permission to use it, we do it quietly. So the reason why we say Baruch Shem quietly, says the Torah, is not because Yaakov said it and not Moshe, it's because we stole it from the Malachim. One second. That's a whole different version than we just said 2 seconds ago. So the Magen Avram asks us, number 27, Frektigam Magen Avram, for Hadikasa B'Simon Samach Aleph, Nemre Loyomra Moshe, Kolomish leKasav v'Teiro, Latzniyav v'Nei Hamalachim. So the Magen Avraham, it's not two separate pshatim; it's one big pshat. The pshat is because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. The Hainu, it wasn't given over for us to say, because it was really stolen from the Malachim. So you have to put the two pshatim together. Now, where is there a nafkamina? There's a very practical nafkamina. What happens if I want to say Baruch Shem Kirei Malchusar Leilam Ved by myself? I'm not saying it. I'm saying it b'yichidus. So if you look at number 29, they asked Rabbi Yashiv, "Kisha Amar Baruch Shem, Abrach Vatola." Let's say it's not Kriya Shema. Let's say everyone knows you make a Baruch Vatola, you fix it with Baruch Shem. Is that Baruch Shem said out loud or quietly? So the chayre might depend on what the whole lumdus is. Why we don't say it out loud? Answer Rabbi Yashiv Tirutz, "Kol Baruch Shem Oymin Belachash." Rabbi Yashiv held that anytime you're saying a Baruch Shem, whether it be at an Asifa, whether it be an Evim Kippur Katan, whether it be because of a Baruch Levatol, it always has to be done quietly. Because we have no right to use a Zah statement from them, it's not our statement to use. He asked him again, Baruch Shem Kerem Achuzai Lomah HaNemar B'Sim Tzidah Sim Kippur Kuran Oim B'Kol B'Lachash, Baruch Shem Kerem Achuzai Oim B'Lachash. Rabbi Yashiv held, anytime you're saying Baruch Shem because it's not really ours, it always has to be done Malachash. However, his son-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanevsky, disagreed. If you look at number 30, the Sefer Das Noite from Chaim Kanevsky, they asked him, Masha Omru Chazal de Baruch Shem Kvachzor Elam Ved, Ein Lo Oimu Bekoil, Eim Zeh Davke Echash Kar Kriyashma, Igam Tech Limud, Davke Bekriyashma. That's like the Tzlach. So again, very big nafkemin al halach, if every single time a person, or whenever a person makes a bracha levatola, can he say that Baruch Shem Alat? So according to Yashiv, he says it quietly, while according to Chaim Kanevsky in the Tzlach, he says that out loud. It's quoted by later Achrenim, an Hanhaga from Reb Chaim, and I found that the one who brought this Hanhaga to life was Rabbi Soloveitchik. If you look at number 31, B'Pnini Harav, Rabbi Soloveitchik tells us that Rabbeinu Sipur Lanu, Rabbi Soloveitchik told us, Hechshehu Zacha, he remembers, Shepam Ra Hechshah Grach Kairi Kriyashma Bebeisei, he remembers once watching Reb Chaim Soloveitchik saying Kriyashma in the house, V'loi Dikte Gloim Baruch Shem Kvar Machusa Belachash, and Reb Chaim was not makpit to say Baruch Shem quietly. It says in Shulchan Aruch, he's supposed to say it quietly. Elo, Omru Ba'oise, Kol Shom Yishar HaPsukim. Reb Chaim said at the same level he said for the other parts. U'kishashol Rabbeinu Al-Kach, they asked him, what's Pshat? Machab in Shulchan Aruch says not. Hey Shivu, he answered, the Kepedas HaGemar Lom Medavka Balachas, Shaykh is Davka B'Kereis HaShma B'Tzibu V'Li B'Yochad HaKerei. So this is a new level. Till now we learned that there's a chilek between in Kriyashma and non-Kriyashma. Now Reb Chaim held a new category, that it depends if it's Kriyashma B'tzibur or is it Kriyashma B'yechidus. If it's Kriyashma B'tzibur held Reb Chaim, you have to be quietly, while if it's B'yechidus, it can be done out loud. Okay, I wasn't planning on making a part two, but there's still some more relevant things to talk about, so maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more about what one needs to know before reciting Kriya Shema.